I can't imagine there are many people here this morning who are not now familiar with the name of Craig Joubert. Once a name really only known by die-hard rugby fans, by Monday morning the South African referee's name found its way into most conversations following some controversial decision-making last Sunday afternoon. There were many people who were questioning his eyesight as he failed to see what thousands of Scots had seen from their armchairs in the afternoon. By Monday, World Rugby were agreeing with the watching crowds, but in the background, amongst rugby officials and sporting pundits, the debate continues to rumble, because no one but Joubert was on the field, and in the heat of the moment, it was his decision. Like in other areas of life, sometimes the decisions we make are made on the things we can see, and we're blind to everything else that's going on around us. Sometimes when I'm preparing for preaching, I can find it quite hard to settle down to write a sermon because I find myself thinking, it can't be that easy. The real purpose and thought of a passage or text might be blatantly obvious, but so used to wanting to dig deeper, there can be too much information and nothing that will really bring flesh to what might be said on Sunday. The story of Bartimaeus is one of those stories where there's so much information and possible biblical reflection that at times we forget to just read the story and hear what happens. It's a story with an element of pantomime, and the audience, both within the text and out with the text, are invited to do more than just watch. Instead, there are opportunities for both the biblical crowd and the Sunday morning crowd to participate. The event takes place as Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd following them are heading into Jericho. We're not told what they've been up to in Jericho, and we probably have to assume that they entered the city by another road, because if they'd come this road before, we'd have met the blind man before. That man sitting by the roadside begging. The Gospels tell us his name is Bartimaeus, but as they explain themselves, all this means that he is the son of Timaeus. He doesn't have a name in his own right. Even in the naming of him, the story robs him of his personhood, of his humanity, just as his lack of sight will have robbed him of being a valued member of society. So not valued by the crowd, it's them that tell the blind man to be quiet as he calls out to Jesus. But through the clamour of the shouts to be quiet, Jesus hears the man and tells the crowd to call him over. Suddenly, there's a change of attitude, and it's the crowd who call to the man and tell him to step towards Jesus. The man jumps to his feet and, leaving behind his cloak, walks towards him. He names his problem, his blindness, and Jesus tells him that he has been healed and should head on his way. But he doesn't walk away. Instead, he follows Jesus along the road. I in no way want to underplay the healing that takes place in the passage, but instead want to focus on the question of who is really blind in this passage. Without physical sight, it's the blind man who recognises who Jesus is. It's he who's calling out with a Davidic title, a name that was to be ascribed to the Messiah. It's the blind man who shouts, "Son of David." Without sight, he's recognised something about Jesus that the crowd don't seem to have named. Sitting at the gate of the city, perhaps he had been party to the conversations of those coming and going through the city. Most people would have ignored him sitting there. He was blind. He's of no use to society. Unable to earn a wage and possibly abandoned by his family, he sat hoping for small coins and the kindness of others so that he could survive. Maybe he'd heard other people talking about the activity of Jesus, a good storyteller, a challenge to authority, and a healer. And with all the knowledge of all he had learnt as a child of faith, he was able to see what those with sight had not seen. He could see that the Messiah was already with them. It's the crowd that's proved to be blind, and blind in two ways. First of all, while they may be following Jesus, they haven't yet made the step into the unknown where they recognise the potential of the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' very presence. But they share the community blindness to those who are in need around them. They enjoy the spectacle of the potential miracle that may happen when Jesus is around. They love the thrill of a story that challenges the authority of religious and community leaders. But they still haven't grasped that both of these things are to lead them to see the world differently. It's only when Jesus tells them to call the blind man forward that they suddenly become encouraging. Until Jesus points out the man, they'd wanted to hush him up, not recognizing that he might be as precious to the story of human life as they themselves are. Yesterday afternoon, I joined 12 others for a walk around Dunfermline as the Right Reverend Dr. Angus Morrison began his visit to the presbytery. I partly went out of duty, because it was in our parish. And I happen to think that when something happens in the church or the parish, that we need to make the effort to be there. But I also went because I was struggling for a way into preaching for today. And sometimes getting out and seeing the world through other people's eyes is helpful. I'm glad I did go, not least because that was some exercise done this week. However, in three different ways as we walked, we were challenged to see our little bit of Dunfermline differently. Our guides, Leslie Henderson and Jack Pride, encouraged us to look up, because so much of the history of Dunfermline is written into the stonework. Then, as we stopped on Bridge Street, two ladies visiting Dunfermline from the west wandered out of a charity shop into our midst and thought they were joining something special and asked what was happening. It took me a minute to realise that they meant the group with a minister wearing a purple clerical shirt and another minister wearing her preferred navy. We explained that the moderator was beginning his visit to Dunfermline and was out looking at the town, and they joined us to see a part of Dunfermline they didn't know existed as we wandered up one of the closes in Bridge Street to see the ravine that lies behind the buildings. They marvelled at how sometimes you never see all of a town and just assume that everything is on the same level all the way up the street before heading off to continue their shopping. Then finally, the third minister with us turned to me as we were walking through Pittencrieff Park and asked how I ever got any work done with such amazing spaces around me. So in one walk, the invitation to look up, look behind, and look around was given. In the eyes of other people, it was possible to see old things in new ways. In faith, we are asked to look with Jesus at the world we live in and to notice the people we would usually walk on by. But to do more than that, to bring them to the attention of others and to invite them to play their part in the world. In recent weeks, the refugee crisis has caused many people to take notice of people they would usually have ignored. It's not a crisis that's going to go away in a hurry. And so as people of faith, we're to continue to take notice of those who are sitting in ports, walking the roads of European countries, sneaking through fences and sheltering in ramshackle camps. The world has noticed, and now we have to play our part in ensuring that politicians and leaders offer the opportunity for healing and the assurance that all people deserve to have a safe place to live in peace. But it's not just the refugees that we, the crowd, have failed to see. Instead, through the eyes of Jesus, we are to keep looking back to those gates to see others that we could ignore and we have ignored. For in times of financial hardship and budget cuts, there will always be new people pushed to the margins. Young people, families on low incomes, those who are on disability allowances, the homeless. Do you know, that list grows and changes with every passing day, with every passing year. And in each generation, there's a different opportunity to have our eyes opened to those who should be recognised as belonging to God. We, the crowd, are being challenged to open our eyes and to listen to those who are sitting at the corner calling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when we hear their call, we should encourage them to step into our midst and take their place so that Christ's kingdom can come through them. Amen.